Good morning, listeners. Today we will conclude this short series on the Epistle of 1 John. John, the Apostle of Love, shared from a pastoral heart the principles of maintaining fellowship with God and fellow believers through constant confession of sins in order to remain in the light as He is in the light. Previously, we examined John's expectations on the subject of love among believers, focusing on the fact that our love must mirror that of God, which was demonstrated when He sent Jesus into the world to die for our sins. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3 and verse 16. John, in this first epistle, warned the believers of dangers to their faith. Love of the world, 1 John 2, 15-17. Deception through the coming Antichrist, false prophets, and the spirit of Antichrist. 1 John 2, verse 18. 1 John 4, verse 1-3. Let us examine the danger posed by love of the world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. 1 John 2, 15-17. To be clear, in this context, the world that the apostle refers to is not God's physical creation or humanity, but a corrupt moral and spiritual system of which Satan is the head as prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. The physical world was created by God and declared by Him to be very good. Genesis 1:31. And Adam was appointed to tend and keep the Garden of Eden. Genesis 2 verse 15. It is evident then that John spoke about the evil world system that is at enmity with God and His people. John gave a specific command: do not love the world or the things in the world. This means that believers are to reject the value system of the secular world that is in rebellion against God. The world is a fallen system that is man-centered, with values and attitudes that are in direct opposition to the kingdom of God. It is the domain of Satan. It is independence from God and self-reliance rather than dependence on God. To love the world is to be devoted to its anti-God values, having a mindset that is focused on things that replace God as the originator and sustainer of life. Paul, in his epistle to the Romans, state, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Romans 12, verse 2. This is another way of saying that the lifestyle of believers must not reflect the system of beliefs and values or the spirit of the age. John tells us three ways in which loving the world can be reflected in the life of believers. One, the lust of the flesh. This is physical appetites. This means allowing natural desires that are not necessarily wrong to be manipulated by Satan into sinful cravings that disregards God's boundaries. The temptation of Eve in the Garden of Eden reflects this. God gave a specific command, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Genesis 2, 16 to 17. In Genesis 3, verse 6, Eve yielded to Satan's temptation. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The lust of the flesh appeal to fleshly desires and manifests in gluttony, immoral sexual desires, and living a life dominated solely by sensory pleasure. It is foreign to believers that are focused on holiness, living a sanctified life, set apart from the world. Satan uses the lust of the flesh as one of his chief weapons in targeting young people, but also older people and even leaders in the church are not exempt. This strategy is as old as humanity itself. It worked against Adam and Eve, and the enemy still uses it today. Secondly, the lust of the eyes, that is materialism and covetousness. This is another favorite weapon of Satan's. It works because of the human tendency to be impressed by outward appearances and to hunger after what one does not have. It is shown in the desire for things of passing value, following trends in fashion, the latest devices, and other temporary things rather than loving God wholeheartedly. Covetousness, the greed for gain and the desire to accumulate more and more, are ways in which this is demonstrated. It was the driver in the life of the man that the Bible calls the rich fool. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no more room to sow my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many things laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?'" Luke 12, 16 to 20. Thirdly, the pride of life, ego and arrogance. Pride is often thought of as the original sin. It was what drove Satan to desire to exalt himself above God's throne, Isaiah 14, verse 3, and it is what induced Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. It was desirable to make one wise. The ego, self, is in constant battle with God's standard of humility. The pride of life leads away from God to a destination of eternal doom. It is shown in boastful self-sufficiency and a fixation on status, importance, and achievements. It exalts self and uses possessions or titles to create a feeling of superiority to other people. The approval of others becomes more important than that of God. John saw that the enemy of faith and God's children uses the same strategy that he used against even the Garden of Eden and Jesus Christ himself in the wilderness temptation. He therefore issued a solemn warning which all believers would do well to heed. Beware of the priority of the temporary, placing value on things that are passing away instead of the things of God. In other words, the things of the world. Pledge total allegiance to God. We cannot serve two masters. Loving God and loving the world system cannot coexist. They are mutually exclusive. The world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever.